Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Welcome back. Right over the bridge, right over the Key Bridge, hopping on George Washington Parkway from Georgetown, just 5 minutes outside of D.C., is a fantastic single-family home that was built just a few years back and is currently listed for $1,448,000. Right off Lorcom Lane on Edgewood Street. And you could find this property in Arlington, Virginia at ericstewartgroup.com in our active listings. For those of you who have listed your homes and are with us, we thank you for your business. For those of you who are thinking about making a move, I highly encourage you to contact us to get a coaching plan in place, getting ready for next year's spring market. If you're not ready yet, but you'd like to get ready by February, definitely give us a call so we can help you with that. A tree. We all have them, right? We all have trees in our yards. Can a tree kill a sale? That's a loaded question. Let's talk about trees. Let's discuss them because I recently had a tree just about do that. And I had something happen not too long ago, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, that almost did it too. In fact, I'll tell you about that first. There was a house in Rockville, Maryland, and we had a tree fall on the house right after we went through the home inspection. So the buyer had gone to contract with the seller. The buyer had done their inspection and come up with a list of items to get done on the property that the seller and the buyer negotiated out to acceptable terms by both parties. Then a storm came and knocked a 75-foot oak tree down on this 1955-1960 Cape Cod, literally crushing the second floor. You know how big those trees are and how much oak weighs. Literally crushing the second floor with a branch digging into the first floor through the second floor. It was a stunning sight to see. You know, you're driving up to the house and seeing this tree leaning over top of the house and onto the house, and the root ball in the yard was, I was easily 10 feet from the bottom of the root ball to the top of the root ball. It was quite enormous. Now, I'm an agent for the seller, and there's a buyer agent involved. And then the question becomes, what is the seller's obligation? Because at contract, you'll remember, the title to the property transfers to the new owner at the point of contract ratification, subject to the terms of the contract being completed at settlement. It's important to understand this. You actually take ownership of the property at contract ratification, subject to you fulfilling the terms that you've agreed to, the conditions of the closing, that you'll get your loan done, that you'll get your appraisal done, and that you'll show up with the right amount of money on the day of closing. So technically, the buyer has the right to say, I own this, I want to make this work. But the seller also has an obligation to deliver the property in substantially the same condition as at the time of purchase, even if the house was sold as is, unless there's a caveat to say any and all, the property can convey an as-is condition with no expectation of the condition of the property being in substantially the same condition as at the time of purchase. You as the seller have to remedy this, fix the property, and deliver it. But you also have to do it by the closing date, which there was no way that was going to happen because of how much work had to get done. The buyer in this case said, you know, this isn't a bad thing for me because you've got insurance, Mr. Seller. And by the way, that was a story in itself because the seller had insurance that they thought was sufficient enough and would provide them with enough coverage. And the seller had to really fight with their insurance company to provide the value, which is why shopping insurance companies and really being clear on what your policy says is very, very important. So they did get it taken care of, and the whole house got rebuilt from the kitchen on the first floor, which had been poked through by this branch sticking into it, to the upper floors being rebuilt, new windows, new siding, new roof. So there was a good $125,000, $150,000 worth of damage done. Remember, this is not a huge home. It's about 4 or 5 years ago, and it's not, it's Cape Cod. So it could have been more damaging and far more expensive. But that said, the insurance company did take care of it. The buyer had to wait 2 more months to settle. But then, to their delight, for the price that they paid, they got a house that was actually in much better condition with all new things that they would have probably had to pay $30,000 to $40,000 to get if the seller had done it themselves prior to putting it on the market. Makes sense. Doesn't always happen that way. Oftentimes the buyer will say, I'm done with this, and they have to move on because maybe they've got to get the kids into school or whatever it might be. Recently, I settled a home in McLean, Virginia, and we were at the office of Echo Title, which is in Vienna. And my shout out here to Echo is well done to Todd, who was the settlement attorney, who resolved one of the major conflicts on the issue, which had to do with the tree. The tree, which was alive, and in the seller's belief, was a live tree at the point of closing, but the leaves had changed because we settled it in the end of August. This particular tree, the leaves had changed from green already to orange, which would indicate death, you would think, but apparently this tree does this each year, according to what the seller said. So my client said, the buyer asked for $1,700 to remove this large white oak tree in the front of the house, and the seller said no. And the contract did not call for the seller to remove any dead trees. But the buyer had asked for a pruning to take place of all the lower limbs that were dead on the trees in the property. The seller actually had done that. And they'd had an arborist come out. And the arborist had not said that this tree is dead. And so the seller said, no, we're not going to replace the tree. The buyer obviously was concerned that they were inheriting a dead tree in the purchase of the property. Does the seller have the responsibility to remove a dead tree? Let's say it was dead. Let's say we had a blight hit three large trees from the point of contract to closure. What is the seller's obligation by contract? Well, it's not to remove the trees. The trees are like grass. They're like bushes. They're like anything else in the property per the contract. It's the house, the structure of the property, and you have to deliver the property, which is the house on the property, in substantially the same condition as at the time of purchase. So the seller did not have to remove this tree, and that was the end of it. And the buyer did accept that the seller said, hey, this is alive as far as we're concerned. This is something that's happened before, and we're just not going to do it. So trees can have some impact. You have to be aware, if you do have a dead tree and you're getting ready to put your house on the market, ask your real estate agent to take a look at the tree to tell you what you should do with it. If the tree is dying but it hasn't completely died, maybe half of it is dead, maybe it got struck by lightning, you're not sure if I should take it down, it's got a crack on one side, what should I do? I remember my father, we had a tree in our yard, which I now own the house. I bought the house that I grew up in from my mom and dad. And there was a tree on the hill on the side of my house where the top of the tree died. This is like 1975. And this was a pine tree. It died, so the top was this, you know, orange mess of death that my dad just cut. And there was this ugly Charlie Brown-looking Christmas tree that was essentially like a conical experiment for a calculus project. You know, you had this cone without a top on it. And that tree, I said, Dad, that's so ugly. You should take it out. He says, no, let's just leave it there. You know, I want to let the thing live and let's see what happens. I remember growing up. I remember it was in high school when it happened back in the late 70s and early 80s. And I left, went off to college, and, you know, life moved on. And then eventually I came back to talk to my dad about the house about 10 years ago. Well, that tree is the most impressive tree in my entire yard now because the tree, the branches, six branches turned north and went straight up to form this incredibly massive, gorgeous canopy with this cup-shaped platform at the bottom where the base of the tree was, where the original trunk was. Now the trunk had split into four major leaders, and the tree is fabulous. And all around, if you look at this tree, you say, wow, that is a gorgeous tree. It's interesting how what's not pretty sometimes becomes the prettiest thing when you're patient and you give it time to become what it truly can be. Well, I've got to take another quick break, and when I get back, we'll have a lot more, so don't go away. Thank you.